The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ in community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. I want you to turn in your Bibles to an Old Testament book. It's an Old Testament book. It's called Hosea. Everybody say Hosea.
Hosea.
Hosea. Sounds like you're saying Hosanna. It's not. It's Hosea. Hosea is a great book. Now, let me warn you, some of you have read Hosea, so you're like, what are we getting into today? Some of you have not read Hosea, and you're like, you have no idea what you're getting in. If you haven't read it, strap in. If you have, strap in. We're going to have some fun. Hosea is a fun book. Matter of fact, here's my challenge to you, okay? Here's my challenge. This afternoon, my challenge to you is to sit down and read the book of Hosea. It's 11 chapters, which seems long, but whoever did it chopped them up. They're really short. They're short chapters. Read the chapters, and as you get into it, you'll start to go, oh my goodness, this is amazing, because this is one of the best books to show how God pursues you and I. And I apologize, it's 14 chapters overall. But when you get into it, it shows how God pursues you and I. And so this week, just to challenge myself, every day this week, I read the book of Hosea. I'm nerdy like that. Even one day, and I shouldn't have done this, one day I've been trying to, you know, get in a different shape than this one. And so I was on the treadmill at the link, and I did an interval workout. And I said, it takes me about 20 minutes to read it, so I'm going to put 20 minutes on. And so it took me like 2 minutes of walking, and then I ran, and then I walked, and I ran, and I walked. And so like I skipped every other chapter because I was just trying to stay on the treadmill. But I read the whole thing. I got through it. Got through all 14 chapters right at the end. I finished it right before the last little one-minute walk, and then my calves cramped up, and people at the gym got to see my calves cramp up as I was on the ground screaming. So it was great. I got through it, and I think you can get through it, too, in about 20 minutes, okay? It takes no time at all. It's a great book, okay? But as I read through Hosea this week, here's what I came up with. Here's some of my observations, okay? Some of my observations, I think, especially as you're reading about God and God's Word, and you're trying to figure out the attributes of who God is, these are some of the things I came across. I wrote these down. Number one, I think that God in Hosea is a grieving lover urging for the return of his beloved who has left him for other loves. He is a grieving lover. That's what I came across over and over. God himself is grieving. He's like, can you please come back? Despite the infidelity, the lover, God, is unrelenting. We sang about it just a while ago. His love never fades. It never gives up, right? It's never going to stop. It's unrelenting. Despite our infidelity, despite your infidelity, despite my infidelity, he is determined to pay any price that would bring his bride back to his side. Man, Hosea is the story of a broken vow. Again, if you haven't read it, go read it. If you have, read it again. It's a story of a broken vow, a broken home, a broken heart, and a broken life. All these things have been broken. And maybe some of you guys are like, that's me. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. T-shirt's horrible. You know, maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, I grew up in a house like that. I completely understand. But here's the thing. I think God has chosen to reveal this sad story through a brokenhearted prophet. I mean, this is a prophet who goes through it. He puts himself through it so that God puts him through it so that his people will understand that God's faithfulness and unrelenting love towards you. God never gives up on you. Hear me. I need your eyes for this. God never gives up on you. Matter of fact, anytime I ever see people give up or walk away from God, it's because they gave up on God. He didn't give up on you. He never gives up on you. He never gives up on his people. God never gives up on anyone. Others can give up on you, and here's the problem. Others give up on you, and we put it on God. We go, well, God, no. That's them. No, take his name out your mouth. Others give up on you. They may, or you may even give up on yourself, and I hope you don't. I almost did on the treadmill. I hope you don't, right? Like, you may give up on yourself, but God doesn't give up on you. Amen. He will not give up on you. God's love is not fragile or fleeting. You know, I'm on campus, and I'll talk to some of the students, or I'll be in the neighborhood, and people are like, oh, I love them. And we don't understand the word love anymore, right? I mean, there's different words for love in Greek. There's literally five different words for love. And so, you know, we say, I love your dog, and I love pizza, and I love my wife. Those all mean something different, I hope. Okay? If you want to marry a pepperoni pizza, you have deeper issues, and we can talk about that. There are counselors ready for you, okay? Right? If you love your dog, and people are like, my dog's my child. Here, real quick, your dog's not your child. Stop it. Right? There's a difference between a pet, I love my pet, and my child, and my wife. If there's a fire, my children and my wife will be saved. My dog will probably make it out on his own. If he doesn't, we'll get another one. Nothing against him. I love him. But my child and my children will come out first. Every time. No questions. Not blinking. Love you, Jefferson. Right? Like, this is what it is. I want you to understand that, like, there's a difference when we say love. And God's love is not fragile or fleeting. It's not going away. It's not falling away. It's not going to flutter away because something changed in our heart and our duodenum, and we're just like, oh, I'm over it. No, he pursues you. Matter of fact, he pursues you and he disciplines you. That's the part we don't like. That's the part we don't like. I mean, you know, my mom used to say when she was spanking me, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I'm like, I'm the one who won't be able to sit for a week, right? Like, it's not going to feel good on my behind. How does it hurt you? Now, as a parent, I understand how much it hurts my heart. I avoid as much as I can doing stuff like that. I don't want to. It hurts my heart. God disciplines you. And by the way, when he disciplines you, he ultimately restores you. He brings you back. Now, there's different ways of doing that, right? Like, again, in my family growing up, my mama's way of restoring you was, come on, get a plate. That was her way. I don't understand how eating after she whooped my behind brought me back into the family, but it did. Somehow, every time that you want to go to the store, like, that was her, come on, you're okay with me, right? In my family, it's a little bit different. But still, there's a restorative aspect of, I will discipline you, but I will bring you back. I will love you. Matter of fact, I discipline you because I love you. Have you ever seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? Not Charlie, not that one, that freak movie. Don't watch that one. Willy Wonka, the old school one, Gene Wilder. You get nothing, sir. That one, right? Great one. If you haven't, I think it's on, I swear it's on Netflix or something. Go watch it. It's a great movie, okay? But there is a Veruca Salt. If you don't know who she is, her daddy, give me this, daddy. And everything she wants, she gets, right? And I remember one day having this biblical moment where I've been reading God's word and kind of like getting into it. And I watched Veruca Salt and I said, her dad hates her. Because everything she asks for, he gives her. Think about that. As a child, if everything I asked for, my parents gave me, my parents literally would hate me because I don't need everything I don't need. Parents don't give you everything that you want. Lord, I mean, there are so many videos I see out there. I saw a video the other day of a kid who was feeding a coyote on his front porch. He's like, oh, such a pretty doggy. That thing will murder you. But he doesn't know. He just thinks it's a pretty little dog, right? Because he's a kid, and kids are chaotic and crazy. Sorry, guys. We love you, but you are, right? I saw another kid that was, he was trying to save his dog, and his dog was in the water with an alligator, and he jumped in the water to save his dog. By the way, the dog did not make it in that video. I don't know what my algorithm is. Help me. and dog did not make it, right? If we give a child everything they want, you don't love them. God doesn't give you everything you want. He gives you everything you need. He gives you everything you need because he loves you. He pursues you. His love is the anchor of all of that you are. His love is the anchor of your redemption. His love is everything. And that's what Hosea is teaching us. A lot of times people read Hosea and miss all that. But I want you to get it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand in the honor of reading God's word. We're going to read Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is the word of the Lord. And the Lord said to me, this is Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man, an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lech of barley. I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You should not play the whore or belong to another man. So I also will be to you. For the children of Israel will dwell many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or a pillar, without an ephod or a household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. And they shall come in fear of the Lord to the goodness in the latter days. If I were to have a thought today, it's this. God's love is steadfast, pursuing his people, even when we wander. God's love is steadfast in pursuing his people, even when we wander. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you pursue me. When I was way off the path and sprinting from you, you pursued me and brought me home. And sometimes it felt harsh at the time, but in your love, I look back and realize how much you were pursuing and loving me. I thank you that you do that with all of your people. Regardless of how far we wander, how far we sprint, that you come and you save us. You leave the 99 and you go after the one, and that one so many times has been me. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you show us through a prophet like Hosea how much it hurts your heart that we wander and run. Help us to remember your goodness and mercy in our lives, your love for us. How much you come after us, how much you dwell in us, how much you just discipline us and draw us in your unrelenting love. And Father, let your love be the anchor of the very redemption story that we have as we walk it out in this world. Jesus, continue to pursue us even when we don't deserve it. Continue to love it though we don't deserve it. Because we love you, even in our brokenness. Thank you that your love was enough for you to die and rise again for us. Let us never forget how good you are to us. We ask this in all in your precious name. And all God's saints would say, amen. 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 So let me give you the setting for the story. I apologize for those who haven't read it. I'm going to kind of mess it up for you. Again, read it this afternoon. It'll take you 20 minutes. It really will. It'll take you 20 minutes, okay? You can do it in a halftime of NFL. If you watch the NFL, halftime. You can knock it out, okay? The setting of the story of Hosea takes in a place called Samaria, okay? Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. That's where Hosea is. He's a prophet. He lives up there. Hosea is a young preacher. He's led by God to woo this young lady, and her name is Gomer. Side note, if you're thinking about having children, bad name. Just mark that one off your list, Gomer, okay? All right, I'll help you out. I'm just trying to give you good and bad names. So Gomer's not a good one, okay? Her past wasn't good. She was a sketch, to say the least, okay? But God, since God had brought them together, he said, your future is going to be filled with happiness and delight. That's what the prophet thought. That's what he thought God was giving her for. He's like, man, it's good. I'm going to redeem her. She's going to be great. And he's like, yes, this is great. And he was wrong. She left him. He's a whole prophet. He's a whole pastor, a preacher. He's got a congregation in front of him, and his wife is stepping out on him, not in a private way, in a public way. And he's left with three children. By the way, you think God, the God of the Bible, is not wild? Wait till you hear these children's name. Because God told him the name. He gave them the names. You know how, you know, some people are like, I have a name list of my children. I'm sure Gomer had a name list. I'm sure Hosea had a few names on his list. He's like, oh, this will be a good name. Here are the names that God said you will name your children. Because when you're a prophet and God speaks directly to you, you don't have much of a choice. Here you go. So here's the name. The names that he gave point to the tragedy of what's going on in Jezreel. First one was Lo-Ruhamah. He says, not loved. Could you imagine the first day of kindergarten? Not loved? Not loved? Oh, there you are. Great. Okay, you're here. Like, what kind of name is that? Well, here's the next one for kindergarten. Is good. Lo Amani. Not my people. Is not my people present? Good. Thanks for raising your hand. I'm sure the kid's like, yeah, I'm here. Shoot. Just call me Lo. Right? Like, what are you, not my people? And then the third one was Jezreel, which we're like, oh, Jezreel. It means judgment. So just to recap, the name of the children, the first one, the oldest, is judgment. The second one is not loved. And the third one, not my people. Thanks, God. It's a great name. Now, I think I'm a firm believer you should name your children something that means something so that they can grow into that name. And maybe God will, you know, like, I'm a firm believer in that. But like, hey, yo, God, like, you could have done better with that. And even though Gomer was at home for a while, her heart was never at home. She was there. She had the baby. She was there. But she betrayed her husband's devotion. You could imagine the gossip around the church, right? I'm sorry. Churches never gossip. That never happens. Never happens with any church ever, right? So you can imagine, how could Pastor marry that kind of woman? I mean, she's out here on the street. She's for the streets. Like, I mean, like literally got her off the street. She's back on the streets. Like, what is going on? That's crazy. And Hosea now understands the heart of God for his people. Hosea was such a good prophet that he loved his wife. He says, how could you, a holy, righteous God, tolerate a people like us, unfaithful and sinful? What a question. How could you, God, perfect and holy, set apart, tolerate people like us? Now she left, finally. Three babies, left Hosea at home. So pastor is at home with three babies by himself. Remember, judgment, not my people, and not loved. Those are his three babies. Not love, get down here. Clean your room, judgment. Like, what? This is not a good household, right? Like, and he's by himself. She's out on the streets. And he didn't give up. Even though she left home, she hadn't left his heart. That's what I love about this. Read it. She hadn't left his heart. He was determined to have her back, no matter what she did. So go back to verse 1 that we just read. And the Lord said to me, go again. It wasn't the first time. Go again to a woman whose love. Notice, just if you mark your Bibles, you should mark this. Notice God didn't even give her a name. He didn't say, go get Gomer. He said, go again to a woman. I mean, we all know who he's talking about, but like, dag. That's how far away she was at that point. To a woman who's loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins, which I'm sure you like cakes of raisins. I like honey buns. Okay, that's great. But like what he's talking about is that we love the fruits of what you get from another god. Okay, you're loving the sacrifices you give to another god. He says, loved, she's an adulteress. And even though she has other lovers, God says to Hosea, the prophet, go get her back. Go get her back. Go get her back. And Hosea does something wild. He doesn't just go and beg for her back. That's what he did the first time, publicly. He publicly, pastor, went to the corner where she was working and publicly begged for her back. This time, he has to go buy her. He has to use his pastoral salary, which, by the way, ain't much, and goes and buys his wife back. Are you processing what's going on here? Are you understanding what this means? She had likely fallen into slavery of some type, prostitution of some type. She was owned by another man, and he had to go buy her back. You may say, well, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that a man keeps paying a woman who betrays him. I agree. It doesn't make any sense. Why would God pay such a high price to buy us back? I'm literally sitting here going, why would God pay such a high price to buy me back? But he did. And that's unconditional love. That's grace. That's the beauty of the gospel. You see, I want you to go back one chapter, chapter 2, verse 5, and I want you to look at this verse with me. Because you and I, are Gomer. Welcome, Gomer. That's you. I'm going to call you Gomer from here on out. Here you go. Gomer, here we are. Verse 5, their mother has been sinful, has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me food and my water and my wool and my linen and my oil and my drink. Go down to verse 8. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, the new oil, and lavished it on her, the silver and the gold, but which they use for Baal. I'm going to go back to these people that give me these things. Isn't that what we sound like when we come to the world? Well, the world gives me money. No, it doesn't. Well, man, the world gave me. No, it didn't. But if I do that, no, it doesn't. Think over and over. We run to the world for the things that God gives us, and we don't acknowledge the one who actually gives it to you. God gave you this. But yet we use it for the world. We run to the world. We give it back to the world instead of giving it to him. We're Gomer. And if you're tempted to sit in judgment over Gomer, remind you that that is the way that you and I have acted our whole lives. Our whole lives, that we use our talents and our treasures in every part of us for the world instead of for God. And it's from the hand of God that we receive every blessing we have in our life. It's from the hand of God that we have food on our table, hand of God that we have clothes on our back, hand of God that we have a warm place to live when people are living on the street. 500,000 people in the United States of America don't have a roof over their head, and you have one. It's from the hand of God. How easily can we thank ourselves, break our arm to pat ourselves on the back, and not accept the blessing from God himself? That's how much he loves you. Matter of fact, it's kind of crazy because this week I've heard Christians thank our government. I've heard Christians thank their company they work for, our family, our friends, heck, ourselves. Oh, I have such good skills, and I'm so wise. They don't say I'm wise like that, but they definitely say things that imply that they're really wise or that they're so strong. It's so amazing. And here's the thing. We should praise God from whom all blessings flow. Why do you think we sing that every week? So that it sticks in your head that that's where you praise. That's where you go. That's what you should do. Despite all these things, God still loves you. That's what's blown me away reading this over and over. Because I'm like thinking about myself. And I'm going, all these things that I've done, how I've run away from God, how I've pushed him away, how I've done everything I can not to receive the love from God. And still, he loves me. Despite everything I do, despite my best effort to kick him out the door, he still pursues me. Verse 3 of chapter 3. Go to verse 3 of chapter 3. Hosea tells Gomer, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or intimate with any man, and I will live with you. I have bought you. And now I want you to be with me. I want you to be faithful to me. And I promise you, whether you're faithful to me or not, I will be faithful to you. Regardless, I will be faithful to you. Hosea is playing the part with Gomer that God has played with you all of your life. If you're taking notes, write this down. God's love never changes. God's love never changes. I would underline, circle, highlight. If you have a highlighter, take a picture of it, put it on Instagram, and tell everybody God's love never changes, ever changes. God doesn't love you because of what you do. There's nothing you could do to make him love you. Matter of fact, he loves you in spite of what you do. You weren't extra special. Now, listen, I like you. I'm not trying to put you down. I really, you seem like a nice person. We're pretty, but it's not you. It wasn't me. God didn't look at me and go, man, he's going to be a specimen. I can tell you that. He loves me despite me. God doesn't love you because of what you are or what you can do. He loves you in spite of what you are. But when you understand how much he loves you and you respond to him in devotion, when you respond to him, mark this down, God always loves you. This is not an easy lesson for some of us. Let's just be honest. Because we haven't grown up in a loving relationship. We don't know love like that. It's hard to receive that type of love. We don't know how to even express that type of love. We bring over all this bookkeeping mentality of love. You know what I mean? Which is like, oh, you did that for me? That's good. Mm-hmm. I will do that for you, right? I will do certain things for you, and then God will do certain things for me. And if I do enough for God, then he'll love me back. That's not the way God works. That's not the gospel. God wouldn't love you more than he loves you right now. You can't increase his love. He just loves you. Despite you, he loves you. He died for you when you were still yet sinners, what the Bible tells us. He loves you right now. He loves you so much that he died on a cross for you. You see, that's the favor that God gives you, that despite everything you are, without any kind of merit to offer him, without any kind of money or anything that would make you better, he still gives you. God doesn't love you because of what you are or who you are. He doesn't love you because of what you do. He loves you in spite of all of that. When that dawns on you, when you realize that the unconditional love of God with no strings attached, then you will respond with love, worship, and praise. Then you will respond with love, worship, and praise. What I don't understand, I just I don't understand is when Christians, when we finally think we get the love of Jesus and then run to our sin and cling on to it more and go, well, God frees me to do this. The Apostle Paul says, may it never be. May it never be. Or as I would say, have you lost your John Brown mind? Like, have you lost your mind? You really must have lost your mind. That God gave you everything you need and you go, now I can act a fool. No, it should never be. You should love him with more devotion. I've seen this over and over in life where people get love and they push it away, the unconditional love. But then they find somebody that loves them with the bare minimum and they're just like, he's so pretty. Oh, it's so great. And you're like, that's what you fold for? That? God gives you unconditional love, but here's the thing. Sometimes unconditional love, can we just be honest, is overwhelming. Because you know who you are. You know what you are. And so you look at yourself. I mean, I look at myself in the mirror and go, whew, okay, I don't know if I'd love that. But God does. But God does. You see, when you love him, I've said this before, you get to come to church, you don't have to come to church. When you love him back, you get to praise and worship him, you don't have to praise and worship him. When you love him, you get to take communion, you don't have to take communion. You know, you see what I mean? It's a privilege to be a part of it. It's not something I have to do. It's something I look forward to doing. It's something that is a benefit to me. It's something that is beautiful because I get to celebrate the one who loves me regardless of what I do or who I am or what I can offer. I have nothing to offer. One of the few places you may ever, and I say may because sometimes we don't, experience that is with your parents. They're some of the few people in your life that may ever love you unconditionally. And sometimes even in that relationship, it's broken because those individuals may not have understood that love, may not have received that type of love, and don't know how to give it to you. But if you are, that's one of the few places you're going to actually experience it. If you find a spouse, you may experience it there. Sometimes you don't. I've seen marriages where you don't. But the place you will experience it every time is with God. Do you know how much he loves you? Better yet, are you in love with him? I've noticed when people get in love, they can't shut up about it, right? They just can't shut up about it, especially new love. Man, new love, you're like, hey, be quiet. Okay, we're good. I've heard enough. Okay, I've heard his name 16 times in the last 33 seconds. Stop, right? Like, he's so cute, he's so pretty, and everything's perfect and everything's great. And, you know, the puppy dog face, right? Everything's great. But when somebody's in love, you can't be quiet about it. When somebody loves Jesus, I'm confused when you say, I love Jesus, but I never hear you speak about it. I never see it in your life. I never hear it on your social media posts. It's just not present in anything you say, do. Then I'm wondering, do you love Jesus? I mean, I love the Chiefs. You hear me talk about the Chiefs. I love, you know, my college. I love Lincoln University. I love lots of things. You hear me talk about that. How much do you love Jesus? You see, you may start to grasp how much he loves you, but the question that you have to marinate with and ask in your life and reflect in what you do is, how much do you love him? Are you in love with him? And is that reflected in your daily walk? If you're taking notes, write this down. The second point of today, first one is God's love never changes. Everybody say, God's love never changes.
God's love never changes.
Let me try that one more time. Say, God's love never changes. And the second one is God's love never gives up. Say that.
God's love never gives up.
Listen, he's like a dog with a bone. He's not going to give up. He's not going to give up. And honestly, I mean, and I'll just be honest, the more I've studied it, sometimes it's annoying. Can I say that? Is that okay to say? Sometimes it's annoying. Like, you're like, dude, okay, I get it. And he's like, no, I'm here again. Hello. You're like, please go away. No, I love you. No, go away. You know, like, it's just enough. He's not going to give up. He doesn't give up. He will not give up on you. Men like to ask, I hear this, where are you, God? Show me that you're here. I had a guy tell me this week, if God would just show himself to me, then I would believe him. And I was like, have you been outside lately? Like, have you touched grass? Because, like, that's him. Have you looked outside just a little bit? Have you seen the huge metal tubes flying over you? That's an act of God within itself. Have you really done your research? No. But you see, here's the thing. The answer from the book of Hosea is that God isn't lost. We are. Hosea wasn't lost. If you read the book of Hosea, nowhere are you going to see Hosea walk around Israel like, I don't know where my wife is. He knew exactly where she was. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. He knew exactly what to do. God is not lost. It's you and I. It's the Gomers of the world that are out here on the streets. It's not God. He pursues us because we're always running away. That's what Gomer did over and over. We pursue our own pursuits, our own loves, our own interests, our own ideas outside of what God. And then sometimes we have the audacity. You ever had the audacity? You ever had the gumption in your life to stand up to your parents and say something wild? Just look at them and say, well, if it wasn't for you, it's just wild. I hope that never happens to you. If it does, right? And we do that to God sometimes. We go, well, listen, I love my sin and you gave it to me, God, so it's your fault. Have you lost your mind? I mean, you obviously have, so I need you to find it quickly. You see, when we're here in this moment, what we do is we think we're nowhere to be found, and we run from God to pursue our other loves, and our loves can be our sin or our background. But Deuteronomy 32:10, you write this down, says this, in a desert land he found him. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. I love that. All the way back in Deuteronomy, God was still pursuing us. God loves you so much that he wants you to draw close to him, draw nearer to him. He says, come closer and come close and come close. Come so close that you can see your reflection in me. That's how close I want you to be. I want to breathe in your carbon dioxide. Like, be that close to me. Some of us are so far away, like, well, I see God. He's over there. It's kind of like when we see the Capitol building when we drive into town. Like, look, there it is. There's the Capitol. No, go get close. Go touch it. That's how close he wants you to be. Where are you, God, is what we say. And we're like, he's like, I'm right here. I've never gone anywhere. I've been here the whole time. I'm right here. Where are you? I've made it a point to pursue people in my life the way that God pursues me. And I'll be honest with you. There's some people in my life that I try to pursue and I want to tap out on. Can I just be honest? Is this okay? Safe place? I want to tap in. My mama Heather knows about this. She could tell you. Those people I look at are like, can I tap out now? And she's like, no. I'll not get the right answer for her. So I'll go to my best friend and call him. Like, can I tap out now? And he's like, no. I'm like, I don't like either of you. You know, then I'll go back to God. Can I tap out now? No. And God always reminds me, hey, you can stop loving them and pursuing them when I give up on you. And I'm like, see, this is why I don't talk to you like that. You know, because it's just frustrating, right? Because like, I don't get the answer I want. I want the answer, tap out and move on. But God reminds you over and over, you don't get to because I don't get to tap out on you. And some of us want to keep short ledgers and kind of walk away and go, well, forget that person. You don't get to do that. We get to love them and visit them and walk with them and pursue them the same way God pursues you. We get to love them the same way God loves us. And here's the thing, it's not always productive. It's not always fun. Sometimes it's painful. I've watched people walk themselves into off cliffs, not literally, praise God, but figuratively, into their own abyss, walk into their own problems, say the same things over and over and over and over again. And you just go, you haven't learned that lesson yet? Then I'll go and pray about it and be like, God, it's so annoying. They haven't learned that lesson. And God comes back, neither have you. I'm like, well, I wasn't talking about me. It was talking about them. Like, can we talk about me later, God? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of annoying. Like, you bring me up right now. But that's who we are. When we act as if we can walk away and push everybody away, what we're lacking is love. A lot of times there's too much self in it. Self-love, self-interest, selfish goals that push everything away. And God doesn't have that. He just pursues you and loves you. It never gives up. let's be honest, it's a little annoying. Okay, a lot. That he never gives up? Like, ever? That he keeps showing up? But he does. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes those people on the backside, you have to bury them. You have to walk with them until they're dead and give them to God. That's hard. But you did not see God pursuing Gomer that way? I mean, I praise God there wasn't illicit drugs like there are now that she was into, but he still would have pursued her, rehabilitated her, brought her back. It doesn't mean you don't deal with the consequences of your sin. It doesn't mean that she didn't probably bring an STI or something back into the relationship. That probably came back in. It probably didn't change the dynamics. Like, those things change. Sin changes all those, but God pursues you in the same way that we should pursue those around us that to love Jesus. Do you have a list of people that you pray for that don't know Jesus? Do you have people that you just, you're on your hands and knees begging God to save their souls? If you don't, start one today. Are those people in your life? I'm not telling you that you need to be their mother and grab their hand and drag them along, but I am saying that you should be their prayer warrior, that you should be next to them, that you should call for them, and you let the Spirit guide you in that. Because notice, when Hosea was pursuing people, it was the Spirit that told him to go get it. It wasn't him. He didn't go, I should go get her right now. The Spirit said, go get her. It's the Spirit that should be guiding you in all of this. God's love is unrelenting. God's love never changes, and it never gives up, ever. So, if God's love is steadfast, pursuing his people even when we wonder, what does that mean for you and I? I think Hosea's marriage illustrates God's relentless love for you and I. I think that you and I, as Gomer, are running away from God after other idols in our life. And we have idols. I know some of you, I don't have any idols. You do. You do. You have idols. Yet God will restore you. He will bring you back. He will draw you in. He said, hey, forget those idols. Come to me. His compassion burns stronger than his wrath. I need you to hear that, because so many people are like, his compassion burns so much stronger than his wrath. He is here to draw you in, to love you. It's crazy, because if you talk to my kids, they'll tell you, Daddy has two sides of him. I do. I have the silly, fun, big teddy bear side, which most people get to know and see, and I have a wrathful side. It's there. You know, and both are there. But I would rather show you the big teddy bear, love you, cheer, laugh, let's have fun, than the other side. Why? Because that's the side I love to show. That's the part of me I want you to know. That is who I am at the core of me. The other side is not a part I ever want to come out, but it's there. His compassion burns stronger than his wrath. God's love is unconditional. And here's the thing. If you've never learned how to receive unconditional love, start with him and learn how to receive it from him. Start. Is it perfect? No. Can I just tell you, especially for the young people, we will fail you, okay? We will fail you. Somewhere, somehow, your mama, your daddy, sorry not to put that on them, but they will, your friends, your sister, your brother, all of them, they will fail you. People will fail you. God will not. God will not. And here's the thing. When we fail you, it's not on purpose all the time. We didn't like wake up today and like, today's the day we mess it up. It's not what happens. But we will fail you. We're humans. We're broken, just like you. Welcome to the party, right? Welcome to the party. But God will not. He will not. His love is unconditional. And Hosea understood that firsthand. Have you? Have you understood how unconditional his love is for you? Are we still preoccupied by self-love and self-adoration? Selfishness? If you've not accepted God's love, do it today. Do it today. Receive Christ as your Savior. Receive him as your Savior and tell him you've gone astray, but that you are returning back to him, that you're turning back, that you're like a little kid. You look at him and you just kind of put your hands up and say, take me, Daddy. I love that. I was watching this little girl on the soccer field yesterday. She's running in circles. Her dad is chasing her around in circles. It's a fun little game for her. She's giggling the whole time. And then she got tired and she turned around and went. Which is a universal sign of I give up, and he picked her up, and she thought it was, she giggled, then he put her down about a meter away, and she ran away again. It was great. But like, that's the position we should have towards our dad. Abba, take me back to you, to love you. Tell him you've gone astray and you're returning back to him. And God will forgive you. He will restore back the life that you should have from him, the health that you can have in Christ Jesus. Will it be perfect? No. No, because there are consequences to our actions. But will it be everything that God wants to give you? Yes. And when you receive it fully, you will see what life actually is like and the unconditional love of our Savior. I commend to you again this week, this afternoon, take 20 minutes, read the book of Hosea, and see how deep, how wide, how compassionate God's love is for you. That's the attribute you must understand to love him better. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the relentless love that you show us. There's so many times in our life that we don't understand how doggedly relentless you are after us. There's so many times in our life that we think we understand what unconditional love is, but the world tells us what love really is, and it is wrong. You show us. Father, I thank you that you show us Hosea. And though you gave some crazy names for his children, you remind us in those names what you have poured out on your own son to draw us closer to you. You poured out judgment. You took a people that were not your people and made them your own. You took children that were not of your family and grafted them in. Though that story can be awkward and odd and we're not really sure how to process all of it, I thank you so much for the reality that you give us prime examples through your prophets, through your own son, of what it means to be yours. Father, I thank you because you died on the cross for us, that you paid the price, that you poured out your wrath on your son so that we didn't have to feel it, that you showed compassion on us by drawing us in when you gave the wrath for our sins to him. Father God, I thank you because in that we don't always understand, but we give ourselves completely to you. Help us today to remember exactly why we love you. And continue to pursue our hearts in all the places that we run from you. Jesus, today and forevermore, we thank you for your love, your unconditional, relentless love that comes after us. We praise you and we thank you. In your precious name we pray. And all God's saints would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.